You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Stephanie F. Covington has over 25 years of experience in the design and implementation of treatment services for women and is recognized for her pioneering work in both the public and private sectors. For the past 15 years, Dr. Covington has worked to help institutions and programs in the criminal justice system develop effective, gender-responsive services. She has provided training, technical assistance, and consulting services to the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, National Institute of Corrections, the Center for Substance Abuse Treatment, Correctional Services of Canada, the Federal Bureau of Prisons, and many state and local jurisdictions. Dr. Covington recently completed a multi-year contract with the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections to provide comprehensive, system-wide consulting services addressing the issues of female offenders. She has consulted with the Cook County Sheriff's Department in Illinois in the development of gender-responsive language for proposal requests, training of security and program staff, program assessment and development, and strategic planning. Dr. Covington is also working with Correctional Services of Canada on the redesign and development of drug treatment programs for federally sentenced women. Dr. Covington's work with the National Institute of Corrections has included plenary presentations and training sessions for the Critical Issues in Managing Women Offenders seminars, the Intermediate Sanctions for Women Project, and the 6th, 7th, and 8th, and 10th National Workshops on Adult and Juvenile Female Offenders. Dr. Covington recently co-authored the NIC three-year research project, Gender Responsive Strategies, Research, Practice, and Guiding Principle for Women Offenders. Among the many articles and books written by Dr. Covington are three treatment curricula, Helping Women Recover, a program for treating substance abuse, Beyond Trauma, a healing journey for women, Voices, a program of self-discovery and empowerment for girls. Dr. Covington is based in La Jolla, California, where she is the co-director of the Center for Gender and Justice. The center seeks to develop gender-responsive policies and practices for women and girls who are under criminal justice supervision. The center is committed to research into the implementation of policies and programs that will encourage positive outcomes for this underserved population. Today, she will discuss the special characteristics of female offenders and suggestions for managing them in correctional systems. Welcome to today's live talk, Dr. Stephanie Covington. We are very happy to have you with us today.
Thank you.
To start, I would like to ask you what you would say are the biggest differences between male and female offenders.
Well, if we begin to look at some of the things that we know that are different, one we know, and I'm going to give you about five or six things here. One is employment history. We know that certainly men don't have wonderful employment histories, but women are even more sporadic and earn less money. Women have more substance abuse problems than men do in correctional settings. The kind of criminal involvement that they've been in is very different also. We see many more men committing violent crime. For many women, the crime that has brought them into the criminal justice system focuses either on their substance abuse problem and or property crimes, particularly around maintaining an addiction problem. We also know when we look at psychological functioning that the women have more mental health issues than the men have. And when we look at their sexual and physical abuse histories, we see the women having more physical and sexual abuse in their childhood as well as their adolescent and adult lives. So our profile and who we're looking at, if we begin to see some of these differences, there's one other primary difference, and that is many of the women who come into the correctional system have been the custodial parent for a child or for multiple children. And so they've also had the parenting responsibility. So when women come into the system, we see these families more impacted than when a man comes into the system.
Right. And you've done some research on this subject. What has it told you?
Well, I've done a lot of research both in terms of providing services, but also in terms of sort of gathering the information that's out there, and the National Institute of Corrections document that you mentioned is a very important piece in that it gives people sort of the foundational information. And when we start looking at these differences, they tell us also that women do time differently. Their experience in the criminal justice system is different, and so we want to begin to have some guiding principles for how to work with them. Most people who come into corrections and go to various academies around the country to be trained, in many academies there's no training for working with a female offender. So we have a woman who's different than a man, her life issues are different, she actually does time differently, and yet people are not getting trained in how to work with her. So one of the old things you'll hear people say is, well, give me 10 men for every one woman. And often that's because women talk more, they have more feelings, officers sometimes feel women are in their face, and when people don't know how to work with a different population and they try to do what they've been doing with men, they're not going to be effective.
What should agencies focus on to bring parity to how women offenders receive programs and treatment?
Well, I think one of the first things is to begin to see the differences. If people, as I said before, and I think it's a really important thing to emphasize, is you have to begin to see differently, so that for many places, for example, because they treat everybody the same, women are in uniforms that are cut out of patterns based on men's bodies. Women are fed food that's based on food that would be appropriate if somebody was lifting weights all day. We see more programs in men's facilities than in women's facilities. It's because we've had this increase in the number of women who've come into criminal justice settings that people are beginning to even look at women. But until we say, okay, who is our client here? Who's the woman? Who's this person? What are the issues she brings with her? Then we won't be developing programming that's appropriate. One of the major issues is the mother-child contact. And most visiting centers are not set up for children. Many women, when they come to the visiting room and they have to go back onto their unit or their tier, what happens is they have to have some kind of a body search. And we forget that some of the management strategies that are just the standard operating procedures for corrections can re-traumatize a woman who has a very severe abuse history. So there are really multiple things that jurisdictions need to do to begin to think about working with women differently.
In the context of the bigger picture here, why is this important to understand these differences? And
well, I think one of the reasons it's important to understand them, one basic reason, is to be more effective. You know, one of the things we know about corrections is there's often this sort of revolving door that happens. People in and out and in and out. And what we want to be able to do is use the resources that are available in a more effective way. And when you start designing programming that actually addresses the issues the women have, there's a greater possibility of being more effective. I think the other reason it's particularly important when we begin to think about women is the issue of family. That many people know that if you're working with a man, you're often working with an individual, regardless of whether he's married or has children. He often doesn't bring all of his family issues with him into the treatment site. If you work with a woman, you're usually working with four or five people at the same time, because she's talking about the issues with her family members, she's talking about the issues with their children. And we know that incarcerating mothers, as I said earlier, has a profound effect on family, because more often they have been the custodial parent, they have been the primary parent. And when mothers taken away, often families disintegrate.
If you're just joining us, we are talking to Stephanie Covington of the Center for Gender and Justice about women offenders. Now, getting back to approaches that agencies can take to this offender population, what are some of the biggest mistakes that agencies or correctional facilities make with this population?
I think misunderstanding behavior is one, thinking that, it's complicated, because corrections is what I would call a culture of control. That's part of how corrections have been set up. But when you start talking about how to change human behavior, we have to create a culture of change. And so one of the primary mistakes is not looking at who the women are, what their life histories are, what their challenges are, and addressing those, but instead taking the programming we've developed for men and the policies we have for men and just applying those to women's programs. And I think that's one of the biggest mistakes, is just saying, well, you know, they've all committed a crime, they all get the same treatment. And I can give you an example of this. Anger management is an example of this. Many of the programs that we use, as I said, have been based on men. And anger management is a program that's used a lot that actually came out of the domestic violence field. And anger management was developed for men who are batters. So now it's moved into correctional settings. And very often these anger management programs are picked up and then used with women. But what people don't understand is when women are angry, very often they turn that anger inward on themselves and become depressed. Or they can be angry and also do self-mutilating or self-destructive behaviors. But I've yet to see an anger management program that talks about depression or about self-harm. And yet these are ways that women often express anger. So if you're just taking a program, again, designed for men and using it with women, you're going to miss what some of the critical issues are that are going to be important in that programming process.
Okay. There are efforts being made to educate correctional officials and agencies about this issue. Can you talk about some of them?
Yes, it's happening on a variety of levels. There are some states who are beginning to add curriculum into their training academies on what are the issues of women, how do you manage women, understanding more about mental health issues, understanding more about the process of addiction, and certainly becoming trauma-informed. What we're realizing in this country is so many people have been physically and sexually abused, and the numbers are even higher when you look at women in the criminal justice system, that unless you understand what happens when people have been abused and have been traumatized, you're not going to be able to work effectively with them. So many jurisdictions are now becoming trauma-informed. So there's a certain level of training going on in academies. You'll find, as I mentioned, the report that the National Institute of Corrections has published that I help co-author, and you can get that off their website, the NIC website. And we're beginning to gather information and have people begin to review their policies, to look at how their policies impact women differently than men. For example, some jurisdictions still have a policy of shackling women to the bed during delivery if they're delivering a baby. And if you ask them why, they'll say, so she can't run. Well, unfortunately, women don't run when they're in labor. And so it's policies that got put into place without understanding. So people are looking at policy. We're having conferences around the country to inform people more about working with women. There are a lot of jurisdictions that are training their contractors that often they contract with to provide certain services and explaining to them they want them more specific to women, or for girls in the juvenile facilities, more specific to girls. So there's a certain level of awareness and education and training that's going on.
And can you discuss some of the resources that are out there for corrections professionals who are dealing with this population?
Well, again, it's on multiple levels. I think that if you're looking for technical assistance, you can contact the National Institute of Corrections. If you're looking for information to read, you can go on the Center for Gender and Justice website, which is www.centerforgenderandjustice.org. And there are a lot of papers and chapters and things that you can read online or download to help you get more information on this. There are two conferences that happen every other year in alternating years. One is the Women's Prison Roundtable that happens in various parts of the country. There's also a conference that's put on by NIC or helped sponsored by NIC on women and girls. So there's a variety of resources for people to get more information. Certainly many of the publications that are coming out, Corrections Today, very often will have an article about women, sometimes has a special issue on women. So I think because the numbers have changed so dramatically with women, and that's been because of the change in the drug laws in 1986 and the sentencing requirements, women are disproportionately the increase in women has been disproportionate to the increase in men because of the drug issue.
All right. Well, thank you so much. That concludes today's live talk. Thank you to Stephanie Covington of the Center for Gender and Justice for joining us today. To learn more about women offenders, be sure to read this week's articles on corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Megan Mandeville.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.